are listening to the podcast of the White Church at the Elk River YMCA in Minnesota. Our mission is to seek Jesus, connect together, and share His love.
The Church in Antioch. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. During this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. This happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciples, as each one was able, decided to provide help for the brothers and sisters living in Judea. This they did, sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul.
Well, it was a privilege to be with you this morning. We open prayer. Father God, we pray that as we come to your word this morning and we learn about the person of Barnabas, that you would reveal yourself to us. God, we are thankful for the ways that you show up in our lives. We pray over this time together. Amen. Well, maybe as you were having conversation about important teachers or mentors in your life, it might have brought you back to a different time or a different season of life. When I think of this question, first people that come to my mind are Kim and Roger Miller. Kim and Roger moved to Terre Haute, Indiana, where I was living in third grade, and Kim started teaching our third grade Sunday school class. There were seven or eight of us, most of them were boys, and I remember being in this class, but to be honest, I can't tell you, like, a single Sunday school lesson, if I'm perfectly honest. But I remember that Kim showed up every Sunday with her cup of coffee, and now I understand why, and she taught our class. But Kim and Roger also chose to invest time and energy and show up in the life of my family. I have a sister who's 3 years younger named Emily, and Kim would have Emily and I over to their house for sleepovers on occasion. I remember riding scooters in their driveway, just hanging out at their house. They had two college-age kids who were away most of the time, but even when they were home, I remember being in their kitchen and their college-age kid, like, walking through the kitchen eating cereal at random times of the day, and I thought it was the funniest thing as a third grader. Kim and Roger said yes to showing up in our lives, and we moved away couple years later when I was only in fifth grade, and Kim sent a birthday card every year until I was in my early 20s. These were people who are ordinary people who said yes to showing up, and I can't tell you what an impact they made in my faith and my life. I read recently in a book called A New Kind of Leader, if you are presently making an investment in a child or teenager, it's not because you are a skilled communicator, a celebrity who raised millions for a cause, or a professional expert who advocates for kids. You do it simply because you love a child or teenager and care about their future faith. It says, even when it seems insignificant, what you do for a kid early on will leave an impression. No matter what our age or stage in life is, we all need someone who's willing to show up for us. We need someone who knows our name. We need someone who knows what matters to us. Who has shown up in your life and walked with you? Maybe during a difficult time. Maybe someone helped you learn a new skill, move forward in your career. Maybe there was someone who saw potential in you when you felt like no one else did. Maybe it was a coach who put you in the game at a critical moment, gave you a chance. Maybe it's a drama teacher who gave you a role in a play at school. When you think about your life, who is it that has shown up and encouraged you and invested in you? Adults need someone, just like kids, to walk with them through the ups and downs of life. We all need someone to show up and care and know our name and what matters in our world. Today we're in week 2 of our series, Everyday Heroes. We're talking about Barnabas today. Bjorn opened the series last Sunday by talking about Rahab, a woman who is called by God in the book of Joshua, and the way that she showed up in a critical moment in the life of Israel and how God used her. I want to take a moment just to reiterate that in this series, Everyday Heroes, God is always the hero of the story. In all of Scripture, we recognize this. We also believe that God uses ordinary people, just like you and I, to accomplish his extraordinary purposes. And as we learn from these people in Scripture, like Rahab and Barnabas and a few more to come, our ultimate goal is to become more like Christ. The Apostle Paul, who we will talk about today as well, said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." And we seek to look at the lives of the people in the text so that we can learn more about what it means to follow Christ. So with that in mind, we're going to look at Barnabas today. And unlike last week where Rahab is like kind of contained to one chapter of the Bible, we see that Barnabas is kind of in the background of much of the book of Acts. So we are going to journey with Paul and Barnabas today through several chapters. So hang in there with me. We've got a lot to talk about, but I hope that you are encouraged and that this time is a place where you can remember what it means to show up. So Barnabas, this ordinary man, was used by God simply because, you guess it, he was willing to show up. He answered the invitation of Jesus. Just like we talked about a few minutes ago when we commissioned our new members, Barnabas said yes to this life of following Jesus. He's an ordinary man obedient to God, and he willingly showed up and invited others to be a part of God's mission. He ended up having an extraordinary impact on the future of the church. You've likely heard about Paul and his many travels and books of the Bible that he wrote. We just heard the story about Paul and Silas being in prison together. And when we hear the name Barnabas, we don't always think, oh yeah, that great role that he had in the future of the church. I think that's what we'll see today as we read. In the beginning of Acts, the author, who is Luke, writes about when Jesus went back up to heaven to be with God the Father. And before Jesus left, he gave this command in Acts 1:8, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." On the heels of the resurrection, Jesus' followers received this commissioning, and word begins to spread quickly as the Holy Spirit begins to work throughout the town. So we understand that Barnabas has been following Jesus, and we don't really have a timeline as to how long he's been following him when we first meet him in Acts 4. So Jesus gives this commission in Acts 1, and then in Acts 4, we get about one sentence about Barnabas. So look at verses 36 and 37. "And the early church has started getting together, and believers are sharing their possessions so that no one is in need. And they were one in heart and mind, and everyone's needs were met." And then we read this sentence about Barnabas. "Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus," wait, I thought we were reading about Barnabas. Well, his name was actually Joseph, "whom the apostles called Barnabas, sold a field he owned and brought the money to the apostles." Barnabas is quite literally an average Joe who is seeking to support the mission of the church through generosity. And he became known by his nickname because of what he was for, not because of what he was against. We learn Barnabas means son of encouragement. Maybe you have a nickname that is more fitting to who you are. Most of my nicknames are from my mom, and I'd rather not talk about them in a recorded message. Maybe you can relate. That said, as we look at the life of Barnabas today, we will see some evidence that this name is quite fitting to who he is. To understand a little bit more, we continue reading in Acts 4, and Luke notes that he was the Levite from Cyprus. Before this, I had no idea anything about Cyprus, but what I learned was that I think we should all go on vacation there. There are some beautiful spots. You'll see Cyprus is up here. There's a map. It's close to Israel and Jordan, right off the coast of Turkey, and it is this beautiful island. Looks amazing. This is where Barnabas' hometown was in Cyprus. And we see it that it is this land that as early as 2500 BC, it was being mined for copper. And it's a beautiful island that today is a popular tourist destination. And it combines the beauty of mountains with beaches. And there are 300 days of sunshine a year, with average temperatures ranging from 80 degrees with a low of 40. This sounds like paradise to me right now. Well, this is the place where Barnabas grew up, and he would return here to tell his community about the love of Christ. We also learned that Barnabas was a Levite, and the role of Levites were to assist the priests in carrying out the duties of the temple. Numbers 18, it tells us a little bit about their role. It says, they are to be responsible to you, the priests, and to perform all of the duties of the tent, but they can't go near the furnishings of the sanctuary or the altar. It says, they are to join you and be responsible for the care. And so there's kind of this role that the Levites have to assist the priests with the duties of the temple, but there's not really anything like super significant that they're doing. They're kind of like the behind the scenes people in the work of the tent or the tabernacle or this place where God would dwell in Israelite culture and religion. And we see that the Levites were set apart by God. So Barnabas, by his heritage, was born into this role. And it wasn't something that he chose, but something he was responsible for. They were teachers and administrators of the law, and they dedicated their time to the menial tasks of the temple and later were scribes. We only find them mentioned three times in the New Testament. Their roles were not very glamorous, but it was a life of sacrifice and a life of service. So in Acts 4, we learn quite a bit about Barnabas, who has relatively little written about him. We can gather quite a bit from this one sentence that Luke has given us. This man, Joseph, the Levite from Cyprus, also known as Barnabas, had been so moved by the mission of the church that he sold a piece of land he owned and gave the money to be used to further the gospel. Barnabas shows up and he gives to those in need. It was so fitting this morning that Mark was here to give us some updates on financials. Barnabas shows up and he is so moved by the mission of the church and what they are doing that he sells this piece of land and gives to those in need. This is the first piece of evidence that we see where Barnabas' role is to be this son of encouragement. And then we run again into Barnabas in Acts 9, 26 through 31. We talked about this guy, Saul, and I have a picture from the Action Bible. Does anyone remember this story? Paul is this guy whose name at the time is Saul, and he is traveling to Damascus. He's on the road. Saul was very against Christians. He was on a mission to put Christians in prison, and God shows up in a dramatic way. In Acts 8:3, we read that Saul is going everywhere to destroy the church. He went from house to house, dragging out both men and women to throw them in prison. And while he's on the road, God shows up in his life, leaves him blind for 3 days, and he didn't eat or drink. He heard a voice from heaven say, "Saul, why do you persecute me?" And a man named Ananias prayed over him, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then instead of going to throw people in jail, Saul became a follower himself. We know him today as Paul. And Paul spent a while in Damascus while the believers were there, and then he headed to Jerusalem, where Barnabas was. All people had heard about this guy, Saul, was that he was out to get them. That's what the followers of Jesus had heard. And so when Saul shows up in Jerusalem, people are scared. And it's understandable why. They've only heard bad news about this guy. And he shows up, and he's like, "No, like, Jesus has changed my life. I've met God." And everyone's afraid, and Barnabas steps out, and he says, "No, look, God has showed up in this guy's life, and you can trust him." From this, we see that Barnabas was probably a pretty respected and trusted man himself in this community. And he sticks his neck out. He takes a risk. And he says, "No, I am going to make a way for this guy, Saul, in our community." Barnabas shows up and advocates for Saul. Because he did this, God made a way for Saul to be used in incredible ways. We find in Acts 11, the verses that Ariane read for us this morning, we see more of Barnabas, who he was, and his character and obedience to God. And he was full of the Holy Spirit. And this really explains everything. Barnabas is living out his relationship with the Lord, and we see evidence of the fruit of the Spirit in his life that Paul talks about in Galatians. And I wonder if Paul didn't have Barnabas in mind when he was writing about them. Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, self-control. All of these things seem to mark Barnabas's life. And we'll see it later. He's not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but he is faithful. And he's asked by the church to go check on the church in Antioch. Some people suspected that maybe things were a little bit chaotic in Antioch, or they weren't going quite as smoothly as they could. But Barnabas shows up and he rejoices at what he sees. He sees people who are coming to know the Lord. Acts 11:23 says that when he arrived and saw evidence of God's blessing, he was filled with joy and encouraged the believers to stay true to the Lord. Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit, and strong in faith. Don't miss this part. And many people were brought to the Lord. Barnabas shows up and he quickly realizes, though, that he can't do this by himself. He doesn't want to do it by himself. And it's estimated that this is 7 or 8 years after Paul's conversion experience, that time on the road. And it is suggested that Paul was a better preacher than Barnabas, and that is why Barnabas wanted him to come alongside him and lead. We see Barnabas's great humility in doing this. Barnabas shows up and he sees potential. He sees potential in the church and he sees the potential of Paul. He and Paul spend a year together teaching and preaching in Antioch. It's a beautiful picture of ministering together, of strengthening one another, and placing the advancement of the gospel over oneself. And it's also mentioned that while they are here and they're teaching, the people start to be known as Christians. It's because the word Christ was always on their lips. And this was used at first as a derogatory term. The church in Antioch was largely young and there were uninstructed believers. And what I find so encouraging about this part of the story is that it's so clear that Paul and Barnabas are not preaching themselves, but they are preaching Christ crucified. People are not calling them little Barnabases or little Pauls. Looking at them, they're saying, "You are little Christ because Christ is always on your lips." What a testimony to the way that Barnabas and Paul continue to just point people back to Jesus. But God used Barnabas and opened his eyes to see potential instead of seeing the past. We see this as he calls Paul and he advocates for him. He was a glass half full kind of guy. And we see Barnabas demonstrate the very character of God in the way that he extends second chances and sees the best in people. A couple chapters later, Barnabas' story continues. And Barnabas and Saul are worshiping the Lord and fasting when the Holy Spirit comes to them and says, "Appoint Barnabas and Saul to the work that I have called them to." This reminds me of Abraham's call, where God's like, "Okay, go to a land that I'm going to show you." Like, that's not very specific, God. There aren't a lot of instructions in that. Holy Spirit shows up and he's like, "I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you the way, and I've got a special assignment for you." And so Barnabas shows up and he trusts God's plan. He didn't ask for details. He didn't refuse or make excuses. He didn't say, "Oh, I'm too busy. I've got stuff to tend to." He simply chose to keep showing up and seeing what God would do. And he put himself in a place where he could hear the Holy Spirit. He was in this posture of worship, and God shows up. And because of Barnabas' willingness to trust God's plan, many people came to know the Lord. And so Barnabas and Saul were sent out by the Holy Spirit. The two trusted God's plan and along the way faced a lot of hardship as they went from city to city proclaiming the forgiveness of Jesus. And as they travel together, we see Barnabas does not stop showing up in the face of persecution, in the face of difficulty. He keeps going. There are times, we heard the story about Paul being in prison. There are times that they were persecuted and Paul was almost killed while Barnabas was with him because he was stoned for the message that they were telling. The next day, they had to get out of town after Paul was stoned and Barnabas was with him, and they had to travel 60 miles to the next town. Barnabas is kind of this guy who's like behind the scenes, but Paul would not have made it, I don't think, to the next town if he had not had the companionship of Barnabas and his encouragement and his presence. And during this journey, the text actually switches from talking about Barnabas and Saul. You read through the book of Acts, Barnabas and Saul, Barnabas and Saul. And then all of a sudden, it is Paul and Barnabas. Paul and Barnabas continue to urge people to rely on the grace of God, and they spoke boldly in the name of Jesus. They traveled 895 miles on this journey. I just imagine that these two got pretty close. Like, that's a lot of steps and a lot of boat rides. And when you think about when you travel with someone, how well you get to know them and how many times you might see a different side of them. Paul and Barnabas, like, the ultimate road trip partners. And they returned by ship to Antioch where their journey had started, and they called the church together and they reported everything that God had done through them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. And they stayed in Antioch for a long time. Barnabas shows up and he tells the story of what God has done. What would it look like for you to show up in someone's life, to give to those in need, to advocate for them, to see potential in them, to stay with them in the midst of difficulty? What would it look like if you showed up to the work of the Holy Spirit in your life? You might be familiar with this quote by Mother Teresa. She said, "Not all of us can do great things, but we can all do small things with great love." Next slide, I have a picture of, this is Father Michael Vanderpeet. This was a mentor of Mother Teresa's. They met while Father Michael was on vacation in Rome at a bus stop. They ended up exchanging letters. Mother Teresa wrote around 22 letters to this man. And in a Forbes magazine article, the author writes, Mother Teresa committed her life to helping others and was recognized as one of the most admirable people in the 20th century, operating orphanages, AIDS hospices, and other charities worldwide. She led a remarkable and revered life, but may not have achieved all that she did if it weren't for her mentor, Father Michael Vanderpeet. The two met while waiting for a bus in Rome and quickly developed a close friendship. They spoke regularly and confided in each other. Something remarkable can happen in a person's life when you start showing up and seeing them as Jesus sees them. Jesus was Emmanuel, God with us. And like Barnabas, we can be Jesus with skin on to others. There's a book that came out recently called The Power of Showing Up. And it's about how parents and adults, when they show up in the lives of kids, what a dramatic impact you can make. It says that one of the very best scientific predictors for how any child turns out in terms of happiness, academic success, leadership skills, and meaningful relationships is whether at least one adult in their life has consistently shown up for them. In an age of scheduling demands and digital distractions, this might sound like a tall order, but as these authors suggest, showing up doesn't take a lot of time, energy, or money. Instead, it means offering a quality of presence. Jesus already knew what the researchers are finding to be true. There is power in showing up. Everybody needs someone to know them personally. And we don't do this perfectly, but God chooses to use us in our imperfection. We don't see Barnabas in the rest of the book of Acts. You see, him and Paul get into this pretty harsh disagreement. At one point, Barnabas had said, hey, John Mark, come with us on our journey. So John Mark starts out with Barnabas and Paul on that first missionary journey that lasted 895 miles. And at some point, John Mark decided that he did not want to travel with Barnabas and Paul anymore. So he was going as their apprentice. They would like brought him along. He would end up writing the book of Mark. Barnabas is like, let's give John Mark a second chance. And Paul says, uh-uh, we tried that. That didn't work out very well. And so Barnabas says, okay, well, Paul, you go on your way, and I'll go on mine. So they end up splitting into two teams, two missionary teams. And Barnabas takes John Mark, and they go back to Cyprus. And Paul takes Silas, and they eventually meet Timothy. And so what God used, this disagreement, God used their imperfection, and the gospel spreads even further because now they have expanded into two teams. We see that Barnabas isn't this perfect guy, but he was willing to show up and he was willing to be used by God. I think that in this situation, we also see that sometimes we are called to show up in someone's life for a season. And God uses whatever time we have together, whether long or short, for his purposes and his glory. When I think of people who are showing up, I think of our Wednesday night team in student ministry. Scott, Michaelin, Andrea, Aaron, and JC show up every Wednesday. They show up consistently. They show up randomly in the lives of kids. I wish that every one of you could be there on a Wednesday night when we meet in the community room and middle school and high school students start coming in. And we get to connect with each other. We get to show up in each other's lives every week. In 1 Thessalonians 2:8, Paul writes, so being affectionately desirous of you, we are ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. We see Paul and Barnabas show up and they share the gospel, and they share their lives. They show up in a powerful and meaningful way. What does it look like in your life to show up day after day, consistently, to be present to the place where God has put you, to do the next right thing even when no one notices? When we show up like Barnabas did, we get to be the aroma, the presence of Jesus in that place. So I challenge you to think about, where is it that God is asking you to show up? To be present mentally, to be present consistently, randomly in a kid's life or another adult's life. What would it look like to show up at a kid's baseball game this summer, or a graduation party, or at your Y group? To show up at a friend's retirement party, or to show up when your kid is asking you questions and all you want to do is tell them to ask Alexa? What does it mean to show up when you're tired and your spouse needs someone to listen, or a friend needs you? What does it look like to show up at an elementary school week after week and help a kid learn how to read? What is it that God is saying, I have designed you to show up, to be Jesus with skin on, to walk into someone's life and to say, I am here for you. Somebody showed up for you. Who is it that you are going to show up for? I think this is the way of Barnabas. I think it's the way of Jesus. And it's the way of leading like Jesus in the midst of our seemingly ordinary lives. Father God, we take a moment to pause and to listen to the work of your Spirit. Say, God, who is it that you are asking me to show up for? God, we know we cannot do this on our own. We are not perfect people. We will fall short. But it is through your love for us that we can extend that love for others and do small things with great love. Help us to do that in our lives this week. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Y Church podcast. For more information about the Y Church, check us out online at theychurch.org.